verses 3 to 14. Praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has given freely to us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, everybody. Nice to see you again. My name is James, if you don't know me. Keep your Bible passage open. We're just looking at verses 11 to 14. But over these last few weeks, we've been seeing, haven't we, that it's really incredible to be a Christian. We're blessed. We're blessed in a plan, a salvation plan. Even though it doesn't look like sometimes that we're blessed, well, we really are. We really are blessed. We really are blessed because we're loved before time. God loved us before time began. And we really are blessed because we really are redeemed to be caught up in his big plan, which saves us and where all the blessings flow from. And the blessing we're looking at this week is a blessing concerning our glorious hope in which we stand. We are blessed. We've got a glorious hope. The hope is about our future as Christians. And Paul's partly writing to give us assurance of that hope. Because without that assurance, our future, heaven, by default, well, it feels a little bit too good to be true, pie in the sky. Which I think makes it not so amazing to be a Christian. And we talk about it, heaven, a bit in church. We know the right answer to give is, yeah, I'm going to heaven, definitely. But how much do you actually believe that? This is the famous diagnostic question. If you died tonight, are you 100% sure that you are going to heaven? Answer it now in your head. What percentage certainty are you giving at? 90, 80, 99? Well, if it's not 100%, that's quite normal. And I've realised this week that it must be quite normal, because Paul tries to persuade these Ephesian Christians so that they can be sure. Why would he bother if he didn't need to? And he needs to, because being unsure doesn't exactly make you feel blessed. It makes your Christian life quite substandard, unsafe, uncomfortable actually, quite fearful. But being assured will make us excited and motivated to live the Christian life as blessed with everything Christians. We really are blessed because our inheritance is guaranteed. Our inheritance. Paul uses that word purposely in 11 to 14. Look at verse 14 for a second. Verse 14, God, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. See that word? And again, in verse 11, look at verse 11. You look at that word chosen, has a little E footnote next to it. And that footnote says, if you look at the bottom of the page, we were made heirs, inheritance, heirs, same idea. Literally, it could say, we have obtained an inheritance. And just that word in itself, right, it has an intrinsic kind of done deal certainty about that word. It's going to happen. Inheritances are contractually obliged to happen in a sense, aren't they? But he also uses that word because it has a lot of Old Testament significance. Because in the Old Testament, the inheritance is the word that was used to describe the promised land for the Israelites. You know that? And we know from home groups, don't we? We don't want to go over this again, but the promised land for God's people now, us, isn't a tiny strip of land in the Middle East. No, it's the new creation. Our inheritance is a real physical world with no pain, sorrow, or crying. It's a perfect world, a real world. But why is it guaranteed? Why is it 100% sure that we will get it? Well, it rests on God's actions. God is sovereign. That's why. Briefly, we're going to see, just really quickly, that God sovereignly works everything so that we get our inheritance. God sovereignly works everything so we get it. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, in him we were chosen, were made heirs, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Way back in eternity past, God predestined us, gave us a destiny. We looked at this a few weeks ago, so we don't have to go over this again, but the idea is that even from before the foundation of the world, God lovingly decided that we were going to be his sons. Sons inherit things. We're sons who will inherit an inheritance. But Paul piles certainty upon certainty. That's what I love about this. Our predestination accords with something. Do you see that in the verse? It accords with. It's a ground. What's the ground? Verse 11, it's according to the plan of him who works everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. God's crafted the fabric of space-time to make sure that you get your inheritance. Isn't that amazing? God works everything for it. Not one wind gust, not one atom is out of place. No, there are no coincidences. Every tiny or big detail in the universe, well, it aligns with God's plan. I love this quote, actually, from famous theologian called R.C. Sproul. And he said, there are no maverick molecules. And there are none. So that God achieves his plan, which includes giving us our inheritance. Isn't that great? But for Paul, he just keeps on going. Let's spend most of our time today to see this, that God has sealed the deal. He's given us his Holy Spirit as a guarantee. We are sovereignly sealed. Look down at the middle of verse 13. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. This seal means we're eternally secure for this inheritance. We're not absolutely sure what the imagery that he's referring to, right, historically. But seals, in general, are permanent markers that can't be undone. But because we're not sure, I think we've got license to translate this image into a more modern equivalent. So I suppose it's something like this. Woody in Toy Story, do you remember this? He's permanently marked with Andy on the bottom of his foot. From then on, he's Andy's toy. No one else's. He's marked and he's sealed. But I think Paul could, not definitely, but he could be referring to when slaves, actually, in the Roman world, were marked by their owners. And they got a boiling hot iron with their unique marking, and they pressed it into the skin. It's horrible to think about, actually, isn't it? But it leaves a seared mark, showing they were sealed. And Paul's obviously not condoning this. He hates slavery, but he's probably picking up on he might be picking up on the strong image to drive this point home. And as Christians, as heirs, God has marked and sealed us like a permanent marker, like a hot iron branded into our hearts, which says, "My son, forever." We are eternally and certainly secured for a wonderful inheritance by and with God himself. Do you notice that? Sealed with God. You were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. That's what the seal is. God seals us. And crucially, verse 14, God is a deposit of our inheritance. What does that really mean? Well, I was looking for a house a couple of months ago, as some of you know. There's so many hoops to jump through, filling in forms, sending my picture for my passport and for everything. It was just too much. But when we finally put down that holding deposit, it was guaranteed. The house was ours. We were just waiting to move in. And with the Holy Spirit being our deposit, our inheritance is guaranteed. He's the long-promised hope of God with us. God is with you. Think about that. He's the only person you'd want guaranteeing your inheritance. He's not letting you go. He's not going to pull out the deal. He's the surest guarantee you'd ever want. Heaven's not pie in the sky. You are moving into the new creation. We're just waiting. We're just waiting to move in. But I think this inheritance is actually a little bit better, maybe much better, than a lot of us realise. Let's go back a step. What actually are deposits? What are they? Well, a deposit gives you a part of that thing before you get it, right? So the money you put down on a house represents you own 10% of that house already. So deposits give you a taste of that future in the present. So think about it. If God, the Holy Spirit, is our deposit for our inheritance, surely that means that, at least in part, God is our inheritance, right? The deposit is God. The inheritance is, in some aspect, God too. I think this makes quite a lot of sense. We're saying it's a new creation, that's right. But when we think back to the Israelites' inheritance, the promised lands, it wasn't all just about the milk and honey, really, was it? The whole point was to be with God. That was the point of the inheritance. You might remember after they worshipped the golden calf. That was very bad, what happened. Idolatry. And then what did God say? He said he wasn't going to go with them to the promised land. He wasn't going to be with them. And do you know what the Israelites said when they heard this? This from Exodus. When the people heard this disastrous word, they mourned, and no one put on his garments. They mourned. They realised that rightly, that a promised land, an inheritance without God, is totally disastrous. That's what it says. It's no inheritance at all. Being with God is the hope of our inheritance, isn't it? It's a little bit of a cheesy picture, but I like it. It's called First Day in Heaven. I think meeting Jesus, kind of like this maybe, is the hope, isn't it? Do you look forward to something like this? It's not at all to look forward to a new creation with there's no death or pain or tears. They're all wiped away. But is your inheritance mainly a new creation where you've got stuff? The perfect stuff. The perfect stuff, the perfect music, the perfect art, perfect food, the best laughs. How much is meeting your perfect saviour factor into that equation? Because I think it's most of the answer. I think it's quite challenging. But isn't it assuring to realise that if the Holy Spirit, who makes our Christian lives as good as they are, it's just a foretaste of what's to come, then we've got something incredible to look forward to. We've got God to look forward to. Isn't this such amazing news? That meeting God is guaranteed. And we're eternally and securely Christians forever. We can never lose our inheritance. Like some fake versions of Christianity, they say. Christian one minute, not a Christian the next. I mean, how can you believe that after reading these verses? It's just totally ludicrous. The good Christian doctrine of eternal security is biblical and it's wonderful. But even though on paper, right, we'd probably all say we believe in that good doctrine, sometimes it doesn't maybe look like we believe that doctrine in the day-to-day. I mean, most of us, even the best of us, sometimes think that we're just not quite good enough. The sinner's prayer we might pray needs its license renewed. Or that big sin we committed recently, well, somehow made our inheritance just a little bit less sure. I think most of us, including myself sometimes, just have a bit of a tender conscience. Like it actually takes effort to tell myself, and maybe you can resonate. No, I am sealed. My inheritance is sure. Wonderfully, we can come back to these verses again and again. Just enjoy God's sovereignty. It's his sovereignty that can give us an objective ground for our assurance. He works everything for it to happen, and he seals us. But in some sense, you could argue, well, it's secure from God's perspective. He knows he's planned for this to happen, and we're sealed. He knows that. But that only means something if I know I'm sealed, from my perspective. Right? And the argument's not stupid. But there is a difference. How sure it is objectively, and how sure I can be and you can be, that the objective work of God has been applied to us. How sure can you be? Well, you can be really sure. And this is how you can be sure. Look at verse 13. Verse 13. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth and believed the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Hear the gospel, believe. Hear it, believe it. Have you heard the true gospel? Are you believing it? If you are, great, you're in. Better yet, you can know in yourself that you are sealed forever. It's not we believed and we're waiting to be sealed. No, you were sealed past tense. At that moment, you believed. And from that moment on, you got in on God's blessings forever. Part of the plan. I think it really is just the ABC baby steps, goo goo gaga of the Christian life, this stuff. It's simple. But we have a tendency, I think, to turn it to rocket science sometimes. We love to overcomplicate things. Hear the gospel, live a pretty good life, and then God will seal the deal. No. Hear the gospel, and as long as you've come to church enough and you don't mess up too badly, you're in. No, it's not what the verse says. Hear the gospel. The message that the Lord Jesus, who lived, died, and rose to save people, can save you from the punishment your sin deserves. Are you trusting that message? And believe the Jesus of that gospel. Depend on him as your Lord and your King to save you from your sin. Did you believe that? Are you believing that? If yes, your assurance, your inheritance, sorry, when you started to believe, is unequivocally guaranteed. There's nothing you have to do to keep topping it up. From the moment you believe, from the moment you're walking and talking with Jesus in the new creation, no one, not the devil, not your sin, nothing can take that away from you. If you haven't believed the gospel, then what are you waiting for? Hear the gospel. Believe the Jesus of that gospel, and God seals you for a guaranteed future. Being assured of this is just an amazing blessing, and it makes being a Christian just spectacularly good, doesn't it? We may not feel blessed sometimes, but we really are. We're caught up in God's amazing salvation plan. We're loved before time. We're caught up in his plan. And we have a certain future in which we now stand. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for including us in your salvation plan that's in Christ, that you purposed in him, that you set forth in him, that he will be the head over all. Thank you that we are so blessed in the plan with every spiritual blessing. We can't see, Lord, but we are blessed. Help us to realize that, Heavenly Father. And help us to be assured that we have a future. And to know that when we believed, you sealed us. Thank you that it's all on you and not on us. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.